Well, let's get started. We have a lot of ground to cover today, so I want to hit the ground running. So we're gonna start. If you'll grab your bulletin, we have quite a few announcements. Can you give me a little more voice, Marcus? I don't feel like you can hear me as well as maybe you should hear me. That's getting a little better. Yeah, thank you. There we go. All right. Well, we have in here our Wednesday night Bible study. We have a great time. This week, leading up into our new Bible study, we're taking a few weeks just to get in, and we're picking some scripture, and we're just kind of dissecting it a little bit. And so that's what's that's what's going to happen for like the next 2 weeks, I think it is. And so we're just getting into the Word and picking some scripture and dissecting it a little bit and having some fun with it. So join us Wednesday nights, 6:30, and sharing our time of just fellowship and getting into God's Word and enjoying each other's company. Also, this Thursday at 6:30, is our next prayer meeting. We'll be here from 6:30 to 7:30. We're trying to keep it structured because I know a lot of us have a lot of things going on through the week, and being at the church, for an extended amount of time probably isn't something that you could really fit into your schedule, but I'm hoping you can and will. And so we just come in together, we sing a few songs, kind of create an atmosphere of worship, and then share prayer requests, and which brings us to the back of our bulletin is praises and prayer requests and things of that nature. And so we're going to be lifting those up Thursday night as well. And so if you'll keep those in mind throughout the week and praise with the how God's moving in people's lives and the prayer requests that are on there. So if you'll remember those throughout the week as well. Also, we had a good meeting with Wes, which is now him and Herschel kind of share the spotlight, if you will. But Wes is a lead pastor at Christian, they just changed their name. Radiant Lighthouse. They just changed their name because what happened is two churches came together and merged, and that's a recent thing. But anyways, Wes was excited to share with us the opportunity to come in and allow the campers to come in and use their facility, and we got the chance to go up and kind of look at a better look. We've been there before, but to have a better look at how the layout and things would work for camp. And so we did that, and it's exciting. I think it opens up a big door for camp, and I really think that camp could explode this year. So not only do we have what I would consider a better facility to use, but it also puts us in an area. I know you guys don't know this, but there are others in that area that are big at working with the teens, and I think that they will... with the new location, that they'll come on board, and we could see camp just blow up this year. So it's an awesome thing. So there's nothing like helping a child build a solid foundation to build their spiritual life on, so that when they grow older, they have that to fall back on when they're tarrying through the journey of life. So a great thing. So. Keep in mind, you have the connection cards at your seats. If you have a prayer request, fill those out and put them in the offering plate when it passes here in a little bit. And if you have a praise report, also fill that out and put it in there as well, because we would love to praise with you and see how God's working in your life and the lives of your loved ones. So do that and put them in there. If you'll stand with me, we're going to get started, and we're going to sing Nobody.
Good morning. It's good to be here and worship the Lord this morning. I tell you, my heart was full this morning when we had dropped Luke off at boot camp last week, and the boys at worship service this morning worshiping the Lord just like we are this morning. So no matter how far we are, we know that we did the best that we can to raise him, and that God's going to take care of him wherever he's at.
Mm-hmm.
It's way up here.
You shrunk.
Yeah, I did.
Grow a little bit.
Wow, wake up, everybody.
Why you ever chose me? It's always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite, with all the never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down
in history
as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family.
That's all I ever want to be.
And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. For the world to see,
nobody but Jesus.
'Cause I'm just a nobody,
no,
trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Amen. That should be our goal. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's kind of where we're going today, too. Is how we can share the gospel. And so, just a heads up, we're heading to 1 Thessalonians. But let's read our scripture, which comes out of 1 Peter 3:15. Read along. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Let's keep worshiping.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. Holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, Lord. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
High and lifted up.
High and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory.
Pour out
your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
It's okay.
Artist one.
It's okay. Well, go ahead and take a seat. We're gonna take up offering at this time. So if I could have a couple of ushers come forward. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our opportunity to just gather and share. And as we prepare to give back from our hearts, Father, we just pray that you will continue to move and work as we give. Father, may your kingdom be glorified in all that's said and done. We ask this in Jesus' name.
When the stars came crashing down in tiny pieces to the ground, I was all alone down here, trapped beneath the atmosphere. Then I thought somebody called my name. I spun around and caught a flame. I gave in to a God I didn't know. And now everything is falling into place. A brand new life is calling and I owe it all to grace. It's so much better living in. Save me what you did for me. You gave me some. answer with advice. No one wants to listen to a list of things they shouldn't do. So I build a city on a hill and I light a candle on the sill, knowing you'll be always knocking at the door. Oh God, I just want to love on everyone. All I have is yours to give, so let the people come. It's so much fun living in your world. Save you what you did for me. You gave me something I want everyone to see. When we stumble and it all goes wrong, only you can make it right. So I say, oh, I'm learning to be the light. Makes the shadows high, the light that breaks the curse of pride, the light that takes the weary in its arms. When it all came crashing down, there was only darkness all around, but in the distance I could see a flame. It's so much brighter living in your world. Save you what you did for me. Something I want everyone, I mean everyone, to see. When we stumble and it all goes wrong, only you can make it right. So I say, oh, I'm learning to be the light. Oh, oh, I'm learning to be the light. Oh, oh, I'm learning to be.
Amen. Well, as we move into our prayer song, Give Me Faith, sometimes we need that faith to well up inside us, because sometimes our light shines brighter some days than other days. And so that faith comes into play when that happens. So as we move into our prayer song, would you stand with me and sing?
I just love that song. Still learning to be the light.
Cleanse every part of me.
Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to just gather and share and sing praises, Father, because those words are so true. You know, sometimes we face the fear of failure. Father, we grow weary in our walk sometimes. But Father, when we are weak, you are strong, and you never fail. And so we're counting on you. We're counting on you today to show up, Father. Open up the heavens and pour out a blessing on your people today. Father, we pray that you will move and work in unhindered ways, reaching the deepest parts of our hearts, continuing the transformation that you have begun in us. And so we commit our time to you together today, Father, believing that we will be touched and moved by you today. And Father, we want to remember those that aren't with us today. Father, the needs that are on our prayer requests. Father, you know the needs of your people. You know our hearts. And so we lift those to you today, believing that you are at work on our behalf. And so, Father, we just invite you in, Father, and just have your way today. And may we never fail to honor and glorify you in all that we say and do. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, go ahead and take a seat. And we're going to dive right in, like I said. We've got a lot of ground to cover. And as kind of a follow-up of last week, if you remember what we talked about last week, real quick, I said we're going to 1 Thessalonians, and if you're reading out of the Pew Bible, you'll find 1 Thessalonians beginning on 1837. And so if you want to turn there, but like I said, last week we talked about commitment to God and kind of what that looks like in our lives. To the gospel, our commitment to the gospel, and really our commitment to the body of Christ as a whole. And that's where we were last week. And so this week, we're going to pick up in 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. I didn't ask, Marcus, could you bring me down just a touch? I feel like I'm echoing. Thank you. You may have went too much, but you'll find the happy medium somewhere. Thank you. Read along with me as we read chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 in 1 Thessalonians. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of Thessalonians, in God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. Thanksgiving for the Thessalonians' faith. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. Okay, and so that's where we're going to hang out a little bit. And so what we're going to do is we're going to kind of dissect 1 through 5 today and take a look at what that means for us as we kind of, as really Christians, I guess, is a generic way of putting it. What that looks like for us as believers, as Christians, and how we can take that scripture and apply it to our lives. And so, this is a short letter in the effect of the gospel on the church. And we'll see in the first few verses of the letter, the church comes from the gospel. The church comes from the gospel. And so it exemplifies the gospel, and it spreads the gospel. And we'll see what that looks like. We saw that in verses 4 and 5. But what is it that makes a church?
Body of believers.
Okay, a body of believers. Okay, is it the building?
No,
it's not the building. Is it the pastor, because you have a pastor to lead the church? No, I don't believe so either. Would you still be a church if I left as the pastor and those of you that remained, would you still be a church? Of course you would. You would have somebody among you that would rise up. Somebody among you would rise up and continue to make sure that God's people got fed. Amen? You would. And that actually happened in China a number of years ago when the foreign missionaries were all thrown out of China. The church was left with themselves only. But they rose up, much like I just described. They rose up, and the church continued. The church continued, and in fact, some would say that the church just took off. The church just took off. And I think that potentially could happen anywhere. And what I mean by that is when you're put in certain situations in your life, you adapt and you press on. And I'm not necessarily talking about the spiritual aspect of your life. I'm talking about if something was a tornado ripped through. We just experienced a tornado north of here. You know, those people experienced a tornado coming in and ripping their lives apart as they knew them. But they adapted to that and they pressed on. Many of them are working on rebuilding their houses. Fortunately, some of their houses weren't torn away, but they just needed some work. And so they adapted to the situation. They pressed on. And I would say probably most of them are probably now living in remodeled homes. But the moral of the story here is it doesn't matter what happens in our lives. We can adapt and press on. And so when we kick that into our spiritual aspect of our lives, the same is true. Something will happen in our spiritual lives, and it may knock our feet out from underneath us. I've been there before. I've had some over the course of the years kind of affect my spiritual walk, if you will. And the song we sang, Learning to Be the Light. And in that time, I felt like the situation that I was facing kind of didn't put my light out, but it certainly wasn't shining bright in that time. And over some time, you know, God continued to work in my life and brought me back to here I am, you know. And so sometimes we'll experience some things in our lives that could kind of buckle our knees or knock our feet out from underneath us. But that's okay. That's a part of life. The problem with that is if you stay there. That's where the problem lies. Because you need to pick yourself back up, dust yourself off, and keep moving. That's what it's all about. Because in our spiritual walk, we're going to face obstacles. It's a given. And so when we face those obstacles, first of all, we need to count on God. Because God is a all-providing God. He provides everything. Our strength. He gives us faith when we need it. He gives us people like you and I to come alongside us and to share encouraging words and share at prayer time. He provides all for us. And so, like I was saying, the church was left with just the local people to lead it. And that happened, and the church continued to grow. And so the same is true in our area. It could happen to us at any point. But the important thing is they recognized it and they pressed on and God blessed them. And so in fact, some people would have suggested that the church took off and grew at a faster rate. And so, is the church a group of people who gathered together because they believe in the same thing about God? I would say in part. In part. Because we all gather here. We're all here today because we believe that God is on the throne. Amen? We believe that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to live and die, to forgive us our sins, to provide a way for you and I to live in eternity with God. Amen? He did. And so we gather under the same banner, if you will. We gather under the same banner because we have the same beliefs. Or is it people who gather because they like the same sort of music, service, or the style of worship? In part, possibly. But I don't really feel like any of these are really sufficient. And some of them, in fact, have holes. And what I mean by that is let's take a look at the first five verses of this, and we'll kind of break that down a little bit, and we'll kind of gain a better understanding. And so it started off, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father. In God the Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I think it suggests here that the church is defined by its relationship with God and Jesus Christ. And so it says that in God. And so Paul here is kind of giving off the suggestion here that a community that lives in God, a community that lives in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I think he's suggesting that the church is defined by its relationship with God. A church is a community that lives in God the Father and Jesus Christ. Much like the word just described it here. And so we're living in. And so not lives through God, but living in. Not living through, but living in. He seems to be saying that the life we have, the spiritual life that we have, has an existence in God himself. In God himself. Our life comes from God, and the strength and stability that we have comes from God. Because we can look all over Scripture and it tells us, Philippians 4:13 is a prime example. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And so we are in Christ and we pull our strength from him. And so when we are living in the strength of God or in the love of God, it's there that we find a solid relationship with God. And Christ, obviously. And so for the church of Thessalonica, this was an important truth to remind them of. And probably just important for us. Because sometimes we can take a dirt path that isn't the solid brick road that we should be traveling. You know, sometimes we can kind of wander off on our own. You know, we hear about stories all the time where, you know, about kids going to the store and parents losing track of them. You know, they found something that caught their eye and they wandered off a little bit. You know, and the same is true in our lives, in our spiritual walk. You know, something catches our eye and it kind of takes our focus off of God and we begin to explore this area a little bit. And so maybe that's not necessarily the path that God wants us to take, but we're walking it nonetheless. And so it's something that we need to remind ourselves of sometimes too. And so Thessalonica was one of the places where the Jewish officials started a riot and had Paul thrown out. They had Paul thrown out. And so life was tough there as a Christian. Life was tough there as a Christian. And yet you've got this group of people coming together with a common goal of coming together and living in God, a relationship with God. And so they want that. And so in this time, it was difficult to live in Thessalonica and be a Christian. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about the generosity despite their extreme poverty there. And so economic security was an issue for this newly established and persecuted church. And so it made it even difficult to live in that city as a Christian. But there are many that were there that persevered through that persecution. And just the overall life experience, I guess you could call it, overall experience of living in Thessalonica as they endured that. They hung on. And so when we face the difficult times in our lives, it's important that we do the same thing. Even though we may not be persecuted much like they were, life gets difficult for us sometimes too. And it's important for us that we persevere much like they did. And so they needed to know that their life was being moved inward to God. And so they needed to be reminded of that. And so as long as we, much like them, are moving inward towards God, because if we sit still or if we fall back, we find ourselves in trouble. As long as we're making progress, even if it is small progress, slowly moving inward towards God, that's what's important. Because when we sit still, we grow stagnant. And it's easy for life, situations, things to grab our attention and pull us away. And the same is true with declining, not giving any attention to God's word, not giving any attention to prayer, being a part of the church service, anything. And so as we decline, as we remove ourselves, I guess is a better way of putting it, as we remove ourselves from any part of that, it only invites trouble into our lives. And so it's important being together with people that share the same values and beliefs that'll come alongside you and share an encouraging word or a prayer. So when we face these difficult times in our lives, we have somebody to stand strong with us and encourage us and just remind us, kind of like they're being reminded here. The Thessalonians are being reminded that what they're doing, how they're standing strong, is important. It's important. And so sometimes we need that reminder too. And so if you look at our situation currently, there really isn't much comparison there. We rarely experience persecution, or of that sort anyways. You know, we might find ourselves working with an individual that doesn't believe in God or doesn't share our faith or whatever the case is. And so you might have the occasional conversation with them that isn't very encouraging. And so we face that sometimes. Been there, done that. It can wear on you if it carries on. But having our church people, again, is very important so that we can come together and share and strengthen one another. And so we're fairly secure, perhaps even very secure, in where we are in life. We live in a stable society and semi-predictable future, at least a semi-predictable future. For the most part, we know where we're heading and whether or not we're actually going to get there. So we live in a semi-predictable society. And so does this expression really have any relevance to us? It does. Because it actually challenges us to the very sense of security. It makes us question ourselves, or maybe it should. Maybe it should question us, is where do we find our security? Where do we find our security? If we aren't being persecuted like the people in Thessalonica, if we aren't facing that type of challenge in our lives, how much security do we really need in our lives? And shouldn't we challenge the security? Because surely one day, we're going to face something that could challenge our spiritual walk. Now, it may not be a persecution of our faith in God, but we will face a challenge, maybe the loss of something dear to us, person, place, a thing, something. And when you face that challenge, it can put you in a difficult position. Yeah, of course, we've been there. We've been there. And most of you probably have too. And so you understand what I'm saying. It puts you in a difficult position. And so then, your faith, really overall belief in God, and is God going to do what he said he would do for me, comes into play. And so you're going to be challenged. And so it's important that we continue, and that's why moving inward towards God, that's why it's so important. Because as we move inward, we are continually strengthened. We're continually encouraged. Our prayer life grows. Our Bible time grows. Our participation as a whole grows. And so when the challenges come, and then when the bigger challenges come, we're continuing to grow and we can face those. They get difficult. They get difficult. But as we continue to grow, we know that we can face them. Because we're reminded that we have God on our side, because we're living in our relationship with God. And so, if it doesn't make us question our security, maybe it should. Because it never hurts to take an evaluation on yourself. It never hurts to take an evaluation on yourself. You know, you can sit back and say, well, how is my prayer life? Is there a way I could improve that? How is my Bible time? Could I increase that? And so we can take an evaluation on our spiritual lives on our own. And we can look for ways to challenge ourselves to grow, to keep moving in. And so let's continue. Not only does the church get its existence from God, but it also exhibits the characteristics of God. Or at least it should. Our church and every other church across the globe should represent the characteristics of God. I know that's our goal here. And I must say that we do a fine job of it. Is there room to grow and move inward? Better believe it. There is never a time in our lives, personally and collectively as a church, that there is not room to grow. You can always grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Always. And so we should look to those. We should look to those and challenge ourselves in how we could grow. And Paul says he always gives thanks for them. Why? because he remembers their response to the gospel. In verse 3, constantly remembering before our God the Father your work of faith and labor, of love and steadfast hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 3 there, he's remembering their faith, their hope, and their love. We've all heard that term, faith, hope, and love. And probably many of us probably have something in our house that says faith, hope, and love. There's a lot of tattoos going around, faith, hope, and love. It's all over the place. Faith, hope, and love. And those are good characteristics of God. In fact, they're preeminent Christian values. They're preeminent Christian values. But notice, they're not just passive character traits. They're not just passive character traits. They're not just different temperaments that people exist. And we went through that study. The temperaments of the phlegmatic, the choleric, and melancholic, if you were part of that study, we went through kind of what our characteristics are as we kind of, as individuals. And I remember Tracy was yellow, I was green. I think, Artie, you were green too, yeah? And so if you haven't done that study, it's a fantastic study. And I would encourage you, maybe we can do it again later. It's a little too soon to do that again. But it is a great study, and it kind of opens your eyes up to what you are as an individual and to what others around you are. And so it kind of opens your eyes up to how you need ministered to as an individual. But if, say, your wife, for instance, is with you, you can learn different things that affect them. And so it kind of opens the door up for a way to better talk and minister and just kind of coincide together, really. Yeah. Understanding flaws. Yeah. 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 God definitely made us all different. But that's okay, because if we were all the same, it'd be pretty boring. Amen? It'd be pretty boring. And I think that's the same as true. We were all given a plan and a purpose for our lives. And that too looks different for everybody. Because you and I, for instance, could open the Bible up, read a set of scripture verses, and you could say, well, I say, or I see, that it says this, and they're kind of doing it this way, or I understand it this way, and then you could go on to somebody else, and they understand it a different way. And so God speaks to us on different levels and different ways, and that's just the God we serve. I mean, that's how awesome he is. He knows exactly what you and I need every day, every minute, every second of the day. He knows what we need. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And so that's the God we serve. And so he was remembering their faith, hope, and love. Okay? And there's characteristics that result in action and behavior that points outward. And that's what it's all about, outward, moving to God. Making sure that we are making progress, even if it is small progress, baby steps. Making progress, moving, not standing still and not falling back, but moving forward. And so he speaks of their work of faith. Faith isn't just an abstract quality. It allows us to believe in God. It's an active quality that leads us to good works. And so he's speaking of their faith, and it's an active quality that leads you and I, it leads them to good works. It leads us to good works. And so if you don't believe that going out and doing something is going to benefit or bless someone, are you going to do it? No. You're not. If you're off at McDonald's and you see somebody that looks like they are homeless, sitting in a corner, maybe have that look of starvation on their face, and you said, you know, I should probably buy them a hamburger. Give them a bite to eat because they might just need it. And if you didn't believe that they actually need it, would you go buy that hamburger? No. No, you wouldn't. And so their acts of faith lead them to doing good works. It enables us to try new things for God. It enables us to try new things for God. Because I assure you that if Tracy and I did not believe that God was calling us into the ministry, we would not have moved from up north to come down here. We believed in our hearts that God was moving in our lives and that He had placed a calling on us, bringing us into the ministry to share the love of Christ with others. And we would not have made that move if we did not believe God had put it in front of us. And so maybe you have a similar story. Maybe you have seen God working in your lives, and you can look back and you can kind of reflect on that. So, you know, God was moving there, and if He hadn't placed that in my heart and in my mind, I certainly wouldn't have made that step. And so we have to make sure that we're open to God's leading. Faith in believing that God is at work, as He says He is, and that He is leading us. We are moving inward, and as we're moving inward, He's leading us into the areas in which that we are suited to share the gospel of love. The Word of God. And it could be as simple as praying for somebody, sharing an encouraging word, just being there and listening. It's amazing what just being there and listening to somebody. Because somebody just needs a listening ear sometimes. And sometimes you don't even have to say a word. Just being there. Them believing you care enough to hear them out as they share life's challenges with you. Be in the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so action is required. Action is required. We have to take action. It's what makes people do things for someone else that they'd never do otherwise. And so he's talking about that sort of hard labor that requires lots of effort and often wears us out. Because it can be tiresome doing things for others. But when you take and put yourself aside and do something out of love for somebody else, that, in my opinion, is where it counts. Because God's Word says that we are to die to ourselves. And so that means to me putting myself aside and putting others before me. And so going out of my way to help somebody, just even if it is to share a prayer, to share a positive word. And so we're not always out much, except for a little time. But that little bit of time that we're out of could bless somebody in a big way. In all honesty, it could be a life changer. It could be a life changer. And so, and some of you have been faced with this, but it's like caring for a loved one who's come down with a long-term illness. And sometimes you just have to put yourself aside, even when it's uncomfortable. And I mentioned this before. You know, it's kind of like mothers and fathers and their children. You know, we put ourselves aside so that our kids can have sometimes, you know. I've heard stories of mothers saying, well, you know what, I gave up half of my meal, or I gave up my meal for my baby because it's more important that they eat than I do. And so it's just setting ourselves aside, making room in our lives to bless somebody else. And so chosen and loved by God. And so the church is a community that's chosen and loved by God. Who'd here would raise their hand and say that God doesn't love me? None of us. Because we sit here among believers believing that God, first of all, sent his son to the cross. And if that's not love, I don't know what is. Because God knew that we could not, as a body of believers, correct what has went wrong for us. We couldn't do it alone. And so he was willing to make that sacrifice for you and I. Send his son. Bridge the gap. Because he knew we couldn't do it. And so we sit here as a community of believers knowing that God loves us. He has our best interests at hand. And he went on and he says in verse 5, because our message of the gospel came to you not only in words, but also in power. Not only did it come in words, but it came in power. It came in power and in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. The work of the gospel among them had visible results. It had visible results. And so there was a noticeable change among them. There was a noticeable change among them. He doesn't expand on it, but he says it came with power. It came with power. And so there was an outward change that he can only describe as powerful. And there was a noticeable change. And so the same thing takes place in you and I. When we accept Christ into our lives as our Savior, our Redeemer, a transformation, a change takes place. And over time, some people might say quickly, but over time, people notice that change and they say, wow, I notice there's something different about you. It happens because when we have God living within, we are living in God. A change takes place, a noticeable change. And people recognize that. And so this body that finds itself, a life living in God, this is a body that we're drawn into as we accept God into our lives. And so it's something we accept in. And a noticeable change comes, and we're living in that and sharing with others that we come in contact with. Because we're all called, you know, you've heard the expression fishers of men. You know, you women could add yourself in there. Women, we're all fishers of men. We're all called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, the work of the gospel, Paul describes here an interesting process which the gospel has passed on from us to you. From us to you, Paul says. It's passed on from us to you. The first gospel was proclaimed by Paul and his team, and it came to them in words. Okay? It came to them in words. And it's important that we know and how to express our faith in words. And we gain a better understanding of that when we put ourselves in God's Word. Amen? Because we are strengthened, our minds are renewed. That's what God's Word tells us. We are renewed daily. We are renewed daily. And so it's important for us to get into God's Word on a day-to-day basis, strengthening ourselves, renewing ourselves, because life can wear down on us. And so it's important that we renew ourselves daily in God's Word. And so I want to wrap up with this real quick here. And finally, the gospel was not just proclaimed, it was received. It was received. And so just like them, you and I received the gospel. And a change took place. And so it was kind of broadcast throughout their lives by the way the change had taken place. And that's what happens with us too. A change takes place and people take notice. One, by the way that we live our lives now. Because I have friends, much like you do, you grew up with people. And if you were to go back and share a conversation with those people, that conversation or that meeting would look different today versus what it would have looked like, say, 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Because you're not the same person you were then. And so it looks different. And so when we accepted Christ in as our Savior, when we accepted God for who He is, a change took place, a powerful change, a transformation began. And we broadcast that by the way that we live our lives day in and day out now. Day in and day out. We're an example. And I hope that example is a good one. Because believe it or not, people are always listening and they are always watching. Always listening, always watching. And so, we should strive to do our best to be good examples of the Word of God. Show them what Christ has done in our lives. And so that's my challenge to you today. Explore how you can be the hands and feet of God. Explore how you can be the hands and feet of God. Because we're all called to share the gospel. And it looks different for each and every one of us. It's not going to be the same. But I want to challenge you to make sure that you're moving forward. Getting in God's Word, spending time in prayer. Moving forward and growing your relationship with God. And showing it off to the world by the way in which you live day in and day out. Amen. Let's sing ourselves out. If you'll stand with me, we'll close out with singing a song together.
Sunset sky, but my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. Won't you reign in me again? Won't you reign in me again?
in the sunset sky.